بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بإذن الله تعالى, tonight we conclude the study of Surah Al-Mulk. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us goodness and success. The last thing, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we mentioned was the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave of the guided person and the misguided individual. The misguided individual is the one who walks mukibban ala wajihi. A misguided person is the one who walks while his head and face is to the ground. Meaning he doesn't know his direction in life, he's confused, he doesn't know his purpose in life, who created him, what he was created for. He just follows his desire. His face is to the floor, he follows his desire. And Allah Azza wa Jal then gave the example of the guided individual who walks sawiyan ala siratin mustaqim. He walks with his head upright and on a straight path, meaning he can see, he knows his direction in life, he knows his purpose, who created him, and what he is here on earth for. And Allah Azza wa Jal, all along from the beginning of the surah until that ayah, he was addressing the disbelievers himself, all along. Now, we noticed a sudden change, even the rhythm, the end of the ayah begin to change. So the beginning of the surah up until now, all of the words would end with a ra. Here, أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صَرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The rhythm has cut. And if a person is listening, just by paying attention, you will already notice there is something. So there's a change here. It's not the same address anymore. And that's exactly what is happening now. From now on, the rest of the ayat are all going to begin with قُلْ قُلْ قُلْ. And we discussed that Allah Azza wa Jal has stopped talking to the disbelievers directly. And now he is instructing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to address the disbelievers. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and we begin this set of ayat, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. قُلْ, say to them. Now I wanted to understand something about this say. Two things. Number one, it is a way to show displeasure to the disbelievers. Allah is displeased with the disbelievers. How is that? I tell you something, I'll give you an example. Let's say I am displeased with this brother here, right? That's not the case. Allah yassir amarna. Let's say I was displeased with him. I've been talking to him for a very long time. He's upset me. I don't want to speak to him ever again directly. So I go to this brother and I say to him, tell him such and such. Now what this does is two things. I've shown him I'm displeased with him, and at the same time, I haven't given up hope in him. I'm continuing to get the message across, but now through someone else. So this is what Qul is doing right now. It is implying that Allah is displeased with the kafirin, but at the same time, he hasn't given up hope in them. They're still alive, they're still on the earth. They can turn to Ar-Rahman, which is the name of Allah in the surah, the predominant name of Allah in the surah, and they can amend and change their ways. قُلْ. And the other thing is, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is very powerful in his speech. He's very eloquent and very inspiring. And he is known among Quraysh as الصادق الأمين, the honest and the most upright. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, say to them, perhaps the speech that comes from you, as a human being like them who could connect and relate to them, maybe it'll have its unique effect. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Dukhan, he said, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That we made this Qur'an easy on your tongue, so that in hope that they may be reminded and benefit from the reminder. So now Allah Azza wa Jal says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ. Say to them, He is the one, Allah, that created you. أَنْشَأَكُمْ. He brought you into existence. أَنْشَأَكُمْ نَشَأَ. It means to create, But not only to create, to also grow and to nurture that creation. So Anshaakum is to create in stages. So Allah Azza wa Jal created us from a fluid that mixed between a man and woman, then alaqa, mudra, then bones, then He dressed the bones with flesh, then we came out as a child, then we grew into adulthood. Also, Anshaakum, He caused you to grow, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and all these aspects of the human being. And He made you reach age of maturity and strength. So I want to keep this in your mind. Anshaakum is speaking about our creation and how Allah nurtured us and raised us until we reached the age of strength and maturity. Manhood, adulthood, right? More specifically, Anshaakum is speaking about being developed and nurtured up until that age of strength and maturity. Not only that, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ And He made for you all السَّمْعَ, the ability to hear, الْأَبْصَارَ, the ability to see, وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ, the hearts, which has the ability to comprehend and understand and make the right decisions or the wrong decisions. Now, I want you first to notice the order here. The hearing, the seeing, then the heart. Why is this order? What do we benefit from this order? You see, brothers and sisters in Islam, the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal are of two types. There are signs of Allah that are heard, ayat sam'iyya. And that is the greatest of the two types, the Quran that we listen to. And there are ayat of Allah that are mar'iyya, visual signs of Allah for the eye to see. Like the universal signs we see, the sky, the earth, the sun, the moon, the day, the night, and the many things that Allah has already been calling us to reflect over in this surah, Surah Al-Mulk. And then Al-Af'idah was mentioned, the hearts. And so everything you hear with your ears and everything you see with your eyes pours into the heart. So Allah mentioned the hearing, then the sight, then the hearts, because the hearing and the seeing, these are two channels that are directly connected with the heart. A person needs to be careful that he does not make his heart a trash can. You hear what is forbidden, and you hear whatever you want, and what happens as a result? That feeds to the heart, and the heart becomes filthy and black. And you see what you desire, you don't control your gaze, you observe that which is haram, and that is going to the heart, and it's making the heart filthy and black. So the believer must be careful. You must fill the heart with nur, with light, by listening to the word of Allah and what Allah is pleased with, and by seeing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, no doubt, this has a great impact and a great effect on the heart. Every person that had a rebellious life before his tawbah, or even a kafir before he accepted Islam, why did they accept Islam? Why did this person accept Islam? Why did this person repent from his rebellion? At the end of the day, it's one ayah. One ayah he heard. One amazing thing he saw, and he appreciated the greatness of Allah, and as a result, it led to his heart becoming guided, right? So that's the order for why it comes in this manner. The other thing we notice here, Allah says, Al-Af'idah. Well, Af'idah, we said the hearts. We all know that there is another word for hearts, and that is Al-Qalb. What's the difference between a heart that is called a qalb and a fu'ad, al-af'idah? You see, the qalb comes from the word qalaba, for something to flip something. And so the qalb, it speaks about the heart, but it emphasizes the nature of the heart when it moves from state to state, from stage to stage. So perhaps someone, he's angry, then he's happy, then he's confused, then he's excited. These are emotions of the heart. You're moving from one to another. However, al-fu'ad refers to the emotions of the heart. Yani, I'll give you an example. They say in the Arabic language, fa'ad al-lahm. When a person is roasting meat, you're barbecuing meat, that's called fa'ad al-lahm. So al-fu'ad refers to the burning sensations of the heart. It is referring to the passionate, flaming, engulfing emotions of the heart. If someone is passionately in love, we say he has a fu'ad. If someone is passionately hating someone, we say that is a Fu'ad. So the idea is, why was Fu'ad mentioned here? Remember, Qalb is just the normal state of love and hate or any emotion. But Fu'ad is the same emotions, but the passionate, engulfing, flaming type of emotions, right? Like they're on another degree. You can love someone, but then you can passionately love someone. If you love someone, that's al-qalb. If you have some engulfing, flaming love for someone, that's called al-fu'ad. We refer to it as al-fu'ad. The idea is, when you listen to the message of Allah and you see the creation of Allah, you will put your whole heart into it. You will put al-fu'ad into it. You will love with engulfing, passionate love, the path of guidance. Not any kind of casual love for al-Islam and the guidance. No, you will develop a strong, engulfing, flaming, passionate love for al-Islam. So the word al-fu'ad or al-af'idah coming here is teaching us that if you used your hearing ability for the right things, heard the message of Allah, and you used your sight for the right things, saw the visual signs of Allah, that's going to have a passionate effect on your heart. You're not just going to love guidance, you're going to passionately love and guidance. SubhanAllah, this is exactly what Islam is. Whenever a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and enters Islam, you see these people, the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're not like casual followers. Passionate, we'll give our life for this message, right? How many things do you skip and you cut out during your day and your night for the purpose of what you were created for Allah Azza wa Jalla and establishing His deen on earth? So this is the effect of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed of the ayat. It has this amazing, incredible effect on the emotional state of the believer. The other thing we need to notice here is as-sam'a is singular. Al-absara wal-af'idah is plural. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَسْمَاعُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ وَالْأَفْئِدَةُ. That would have all been plural. Rather, He said, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ. That's a singular. وَالْأَبْصَارُ, that's plural. وَالْأَفْئِدَةُ, the hearts, that's a plural. So why did the first one come as a singular and the other two came as a plural? وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ mentioned that because we all hear the same message. All of us hear the same message. But our insight to the ayat and to the message is different. Everyone understands something differently. And as a result, because our understanding differs, our heart is affected differently. So the sight and the heart were a plural because everyone is different in that. And as-sama', the ability to hear, was singular because we all hear the same message. I mean, I give you an example. You're sitting now in the room, right? All of you are seeing me from different angles. Your vision of me is different to his vision of me. But at the end of the day, you're all hearing the very same message. And whatever you're hearing, you're processing differently. So the hearts are plural, implying that everyone is different in how they absorb this message. And the sight is different, is a plural, because we all have a different insight and an understanding to the ayat. Like the imam, when the imam prays, everyone is hearing the same message, as-sam'a, singular, we're all hearing the same thing. But everyone is understanding differently. Someone is crying, someone is laughing. Some hack people are in a salat. You see someone crying and the other, he's lost focus, he's got no clue what's happening, but we're all listening to the same message. We're all different when it comes to understanding and being affected emotionally. Now, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. How little do you show thanks? مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. يعني your gratitude, this مَا implies insignificance. قَلِيل, it comes from the word قَلَّ. قَلَّ for something to decrease, for something to be little. قَلِيل is for something to be very little. Right? There's an emphasis on how little it is. So qaleel, very, very few of you show thanks and gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, when I say, I have qaleelan min al-ma', you ask me, you want water, I show you a bottle, I say, I have very little water in there. Meaning a few drops to nothing, literally nothing. Qaleel here, in this context, means literally absolutely nothing. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying your gratitude to him is little to nothing. Basically, it is nothing. Very insignificant. Hardly do you give thanks to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what were the blessings that were mentioned in this ayah that demand from you and I gratitude? The blessings that were mentioned were the hearing, the seeing, and the heart. طيب. And the only way to show gratitude to these three things is to put them to good use. I'm going to give you an example. If I gave you a phone, yeah, I gifted you a phone, and you said to me, thank you very much for the gift, but I saw you the next day abusing it. You used it as a scraper and you started scraping the table with it. You know, what's this? Hardly do you give thanks. What is this type of thanks? Yes, you told me thank you, but you're abusing that which I gave you. So in order to thank Allah for these abilities that He gave us, we're supposed to put them for good use. So the one who uses his hearing to hear the message of Allah, and his sight to see and visual and understand the creation of Allah, and uses his heart to increase his iman and come closer to the guidance, that is how you thank these blessings. Right? If I was to gift you the phone, similarly, same example, and I saw you the next day using it for what it was made for. You're taking calls, you're making calls, you're messaging, and I'll be happy, I'll be pleased. You're using it for what it was made for. You didn't abuse my gift. So, of course, to Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of examples, but what Allah Azza wa Jal gave us of these abilities, they must be put to good use in order for you to be grateful for them. طيب. Now, the senses that were mentioned in this ayah were the hearing and the seeing. Even though we have more than that, what else we have of senses? Touch and the smell and the taste. They weren't mentioned in this ayah. Why is that? Firstly, this ayah is speaking about understanding the truth, acknowledging the oneness and the authority of Allah. And taste and smell has little to no involvement with guidance and appreciating the truth. Right? You're not guided by your smell and by your taste. The main function and the ability that we have that play a major role in recognizing the truth and the path of guidance is our hearing and our sight and our intellect, the ability to understand. But I want to now explain to you something, and I need you to be very careful here. How can we connect this ayah with the previous ayah that gave the example of the misguided individual and the guided individual? Listen to me very carefully. The misguided individual, how did Allah describe him? Mukibban ala wajihi. Meaning, when he walks, his face is to the earth. Like an animal. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Azza wa Jal literally said about the misguided person, فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. He's like that of a dog. Now, when the dog walks on earth, and he has his face to the ground, what does he do? He smells and he tastes with his tongue. Dog doesn't use the other senses. He's smelling and he tastes a lot more than all the other senses. And that is the example of the one who follows his desire. He just smells, and if a dog smells something good, he's going to keep going, no matter what the danger or the harm is, until he gets to that which he has smelt. If he tasted something, he's going to do whatever it takes to get it and to eat it. He's got no limits, no understanding. That's all he's doing, following his desire. Oh, subhanallah, the example of the one who is guided, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Sawiyan ala siratin mustaqim, standing upright upon a straight path. When you're standing upright, your nose and your tongue is away from the ground, meaning you have a control over your desire. When you're standing upright, you can see what's ahead of you. You can hear the warnings and the dangers, and you can use your heart to comprehend and to understand these matters. Subhanallah, how this is incredibly tied with the previous ayah. Allahu Akbar. Such beautiful connection and relationship between this ayah and the one before. And so, no one has an excuse before Allah Azza wa Jal. We all have these abilities. You can choose whether you want to benefit from them or not. And that's why the greatest regret of the disbeliever on the Day of Judgment would be, as mentioned in the surah, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. They regret, if only we heard and only we understood with our hearts and our minds. You see, they heard and they understood the message, but they did not put their hearing to good use. And they did not want to benefit from that which they heard and understood of the truth. Rather, what was their case? بَلَّجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ. They remained persistent upon their arrogance and turning away from the message. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he says, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. قُلْ, say to them again, هُوَ الَّذِي, it is he, Allah Azza wa Jal, the one, who ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. ذَرَأَ is to create something and to spread it far and wide. So the idea is the human being was created by Allah and he continues to reproduce and spread out. So you know, like when they show you the family tree, how the family tree is just all spread out. It began with two individuals and then they gave birth to these and they gave birth to ذَرَأَكُمْ. That's why the word ذَرَأَكُمْ also from the same word as ذُرِّيَّة. ذُرِّيَّة is progeny and generation. So he spread you all out. You became generations, multiplied and spread on earth. That's one meaning of ذَرَأَكُمْ, to spread out. Number two, ذَرَأَكُمْ could mean to spread out in age. So he extended your age, he spread it out. You didn't just live until a youthful age, rather all the way until old age when your hair became white and grey. So now look at this. The previous ayah used the word what? أَنْشَأَكُمْ. And this ayah is using what? ذَرَأَكُمْ. أَنْشَأَكُمْ is speaking about him creating you and made you grow to young and a strong age. You understand? Remember that? The young age, the adulthood. ذَرَأَكُمْ, he created you, but it gives the meaning of he spread you out, and literally he spread your age out, and there's an emphasis on old age, white and grey hair. Also, ذَرَأَكُمْ, it comes from, they say, ذَرَأْنَا الْأَرْضِ, أي بَذَرْنَاهَا, to plant seeds into the earth. ذَرَأَ is to plant seeds into the earth. So, he made you reach an old age, ذَرَأَكُمْ now, on a holistic meaning, he created you, he made you reach old age, and then he planted you into the earth. That refers to what? Death and being buried into the earth after you have completed your life on this earth. Subhanallah. These two ayat discuss the lifespan of a human being. Ansha'akum, created you until you reached a young, youthful age where you are strong. And then the word dhara'akum, he spread you out on earth, spread your age until you reached an old age, and he planted you back into the earth. You died and you were buried. What comes after you're buried? وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. That's the end of this ayah. And to him alone, you will all be gathered. Subhanallah. And this is like an elaboration on what has already come in the surah from the very beginning. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He created death and life. Now, he's explaining the concept of death and life in these two ayat. Subhanallah. وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. To him, you will be gathered. Hashara is to gather and collect, which suggests that things were spread out far and wide, then they had to be collected. You know, like when a child plays with his Legos or with his toys, at the end of the day, the parents, they go and collect them from every corner of the house. That's hashara. Hashara suggests that things have been spread and you're collecting them. And so since the word ذَرَأَكُمْ meant that he created you and spread you out far and wide on earth, it is only befitting that the word تُحْشَرُونَ is mentioned here to describe resurrection. Yani, subhanallah, no matter how far and wide you spread on earth, you know, subhanallah, you might have your parents, they were born in one country. Then they had their own children and everyone moved across the world. Then they had their own children and they decided to live somewhere else. And by 100 years, that generation is spread all across the world. So the idea is, he spread you far and wide, ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then no matter which corner of earth you decided to live in, and no matter where you die, in the depth of the earth or in the depths of the ocean, he will collect you and gather you all to him, one by one, for accountability. وَإِلَيْهِ alone تُحْشَرُونَ. And so the human being on the Day of Judgment, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. The human being would say, where can I escape? Where can I run and hide today? Obviously, you cannot do so. So the message we're learning here is that the human being should come back willingly with his heart today to Allah. Come back today before a day comes in which you will return to him body and soul forcefully. What do we get from these two ayat now? So far two, قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ. What we get from these two ayat is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now basically told to say to these kafirin, do what you want. You people do what you want. However, be informed that you will all be returning to Allah azza wa jal and you'll be answering Him. At this point of the surah, the disbelievers don't have any arguments remaining. They cannot stand in front of an Islam anymore and argue with it. Their arguments have finished, zero. The previous ayat just told them, who created you? Who raised you? Who gave you your eyes, the ability to hear, your hearts? Who gave you these abilities? Everything that you enjoy in life, who gave that to you? So they don't have any argument left. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? You and I would expect from them to say, Amanna billah, we surrender, we give up, and la ilaha illallah. Khalas. That's the second logical thing to do. But they don't do that. Now their arrogance will continue, as Allah Azza wa Jal said. Balajju, remember the persistence in arrogance and stubbornness and turning away? That's going to continue now. They don't want to deal with this message. They don't want to listen to it. And these disbelievers, they still have their followers up until today. People that don't want to listen to the message of Islam. Nothing, zero. I don't want to deal with this at all. Move it away. So now they will respond. They're going to say something now. But the most unintelligent response, the most foolish of responses, they are going to now begin to behave in a very ignorant manner. They are going to speak childish words. They want to distract the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the callers to Islam, and they want to shift their focus away from a deen. They want to take their focus somewhere else. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, after the disbelievers have heard these realities, they say, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ. They all say, يَقُولُونَ is a present tense. Present tense implies continuity, meaning they will keep saying this from now on. Every time you remind them of the message, they'll keep saying this. مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When is this promise? Well, when's it going to happen? Anta, you're promising us the resurrection, a huge gathering, we're going to come out of our graves, we're going to be naked, barefooted, uncircumcised. When's this promise? مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When is it? Elsewhere in the Qur'an, they used to rush this. They used to say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجِّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا. Hey, if there was such a promise, bring it on. Bring on this punishment. Where is it? Allah Azza wa Jal would say about them, elsewhere, they would say, وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا وَرُفَاتًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُثُونَ خَلْقًا جَدِيدًا. They would say that if we became bones and withered away, became crumbled particle, are we going to be resurrected into a new creation? أما مبعوثون خلقا جديدا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم responds, says, قل كونوا حجارة أو حديدة. Yes, even if you were to turn into stones and iron, أو خلقا مما يكبر في صدوركم, or even if your creation was to be the most difficult thing you can imagine that could ever be returned back to worldly life, whatever you end up being, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to return you. So then they said, they will say, فسيقولون مَنْ يُعِدُنَا. Look at the foolish argument. They'll say, okay, who's this one that is going to return us and resurrect us? Who is he? Allah Azza wa Jal would say, فَسَيُنْغِضُونَ قُلِ الَّذِي فَطَرَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Tell them, the one who brought them the first time round is able to create them the second time round. You'd expect for them to give up now. They continue, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَسَيُنْغِضُونَ إِلَيْكَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. They'll put their heads down, they'll nod their heads towards you, meaning they want to avoid eye contact. They don't have any more argument left. They shake their heads, they don't want to see you, they don't want to deal with this message. And they'll say, مَتَى هُو. When is it going to be? When's this appointment? When is this promised time? Tell them, قُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ قَرِيبًا. Tell them, perhaps it's going to be very near, very soon. And then they add to this, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. They'll continuously say, when is this promised time, this appointed time that you keep telling us about? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If indeed you are truthful. In other words, if you're not a liar, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, if you're not a liar, tell us, When is this promise going to unfold? So now they are indirectly undermining and mocking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was always known as a Sadiq al-Amin among them, the honest and the most upright. Now they want to destroy and ruin his reputation. They are attacking his manners, his honesty, his integrity. You know, because if a person doesn't have honesty, his da'wah is flawed and it fails right away. Right away it fails. So now they can see his message is flourishing and spreading. And we haven't been able to stop him. So what's the best thing to do now? Character assassinate him. Let's make him out a liar and a madman and an insane man among the people so that they can run away from him. And that's why in the next surah, Surah Al-Qalam, Allah Azza wa Jal comforts the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and defends him. Says to him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are indeed upon great morals and ethics and manners. And even in that surah, Allah Azza wa Jal would say, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Don't obey the liars. They're the ones that are liars, not you. And by the way, they are saying this to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the followers. إِن كُنْتُمْ. If all of you indeed are truthful, yalla, tell us, when is this appointment? When is this promised day? And that means that it is not only the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preaching and propagating the message of Islam, but also the believers, the companions. They are preaching to the society the message of Allah. So what you and I are learning here is that you and I are propagators of an Islam. We are also supposed to spread the message of an Islam. And at this very moment, it is our responsibility. In kuntum, all of you. So they are saying, if you are truthful, but you people are a bunch of liars, tell us when this appointment is going to happen. So the question here, this is a very silly question, a pathetic question. It is a question that reflects their stubbornness and their arrogance. Like what Allah said about them, utu wa nufur. They're persistent in their arrogance and stubbornness, and that's part of it. So now Allah Azza wa Jal teaches the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to deal with this. How do you respond with this? And this ayah is going to be very important for you and I, since we are living in a day and age where Islamophobia is on the rise. And the attack against Islam is extremely on the rise. And any generation or any religion on earth, if any religion on earth was attacked in the same way Islam has been attacked, it would have died and stood no chance long time ago. However, Allah Azza wa Jal continues to shine His light. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers hated and disliked this. How do we respond to these kind of foolish questions that come from the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal? Listen to the response. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. قُلْ. Respond back. Say to them. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. إِنَّمَا is a particle in the Arabic language that creates certainty and exclusivity. Innama. There is no doubt. And be certain that the knowledge of the promised time, the knowledge of the hour and the events of the afterlife is with Allah, عند Allah. It is only He who has it. Inna Allah عنده علم الساعة. Allah has the knowledge of when the hour will be established. And then tell them, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. No doubt, I am only a clear warner. I'm a clear warner, Nadir. And Nadir here, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a scary, terrifying warner. Sometimes you may think of the word warner, someone that is scaring you, terrifying you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here to scare us. He warns mankind out of genuine care and concern for them. That is what a Nadir is. A Nadir is for someone to know about the danger that looms ahead. He knows about the danger of the hereafter, and then he genuinely is concerned for your safety, so he warns you. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, he said, my example and yours is that of a man who kindled a fire. Imagine someone went to the desert and kindled a fire. And then the moths and the grasshoppers began to jump into it. What does a moth usually do? Sees a fire and it jumps into it. He tried to keep them away. Imagine you're keeping away these moths and these grasshoppers and these bugs and from entering into this fire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but they kept falling into it. He said, I am trying to hold you back from the fire, But you keep slipping from my hands, from my fingers, and you end up falling into it. So an-nadhir is the one who knows about your danger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about the fire. And he rushes to you to warn you about what is ahead of you if you stay upon your foolishness and misguidance. He's informing you of the danger ahead so that you take care. You know, like the one when you drive somewhere, sometimes on the highway and someone flashes his high beam? They high beam you, flashing the light. Well, he's not scaring you, but this is out of genuine care and concern for you. He's warning you there's a mobile speed trap ahead, so be careful. That's kind of a nadir, not scary, but it's a warner, a genuine love and concern and care for you. طيب وإنما أنا نذير. I'm a warner, not only any warner, مبين as well. مبين يعني a very clear warner. Clear, مبين. We're learning that the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very simple, very clear. His words are not confusing, they're not messy and all chaotic. You come in, your mind was clear, you leave and you're more confused than what you are. La, clear. Sometimes people, they give a reminder, they give a warning, and they confuse you a lot more than you are. That's not nadhirun mubeen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his message would be very clear. He would warn, he would explain what he's warning about. He'll inform you of the dangers, the consequences. He'll inform you what the solution is, and he'll give you hope and guidance and the road out of this mess that you're in. Nadhirun mubeen. So what we are learning here is that as a believer, the way we respond to these many attacks against Islam is that our response should be very calm, very leveled, very composed. Look at the response. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. What they're asking about, it's knowledge is with Allah. I'm just a clear warner. Look how calm the response is. See, these disbelievers, they want to entice us, incite us. They want to stir up our emotions so that we go and we protest against them and slam and this and that and shout and scream, and this is what they want. Lakin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being taught. It's very simple. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. They, these disbelievers, they want the world, they want to show the world that we are crazy, that we have gone mad. That's what they want to say publicly about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine Twitter and TikTok existed at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The trending headline would be, Muhammad has gone mad. Muhammad is insane. Muhammad is possessed. This is what they used to say. Aftara ala Allahi kathiban am bihi jinnah. This is what they used to publicly say among their people. Has this man fabricated a lie against Allah? Or is he gone mad and insane and possessed? Sahir is a magician as well. This is what they always do. And this is part of the agenda. So we need to be very calm, wise, remain focused on the message. We have a message to deliver. We're not here to defend ourselves and just keep going on that tit for tat kind of argument. Very calm, and then come back straight to the message and remain focused on that. And we don't have to answer every question of theirs. We got to take control of the discussion. We will answer what's important. We'll avoid what we consider foolish and insignificant of questions. And I notice something here. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He didn't even say, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. ثُمَّ قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ وَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ. You know what that creates? It creates immediacy. Because wow and ثُمَّ would imply, you know what? Take a break, think about it, and then go back and respond. But the emission of these particles, the wow and ثُمَّ, suggests that the response should be very quick and immediate. إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين. What we're learning with this is confidence. Because when you're quick to respond, you're confident in your answer, you're confident in your response. إنما العلم عند الله. Don't sit and think, what's the best way I'm going to respond? Very simple. You're asking about when the promise is. That's knowledge is with Allah, not with me. I'm just a warner here. يعني, if you want to accept the message, accept it. If you don't want that, that's not my problem. That is your problem. And pay attention to the other thing. عند الله. Your problem is with Allah. That's not with me. I'm just carrying the message and delivering. But you will إليه تحشرون. You'll be gathered to him. And you'll be questioned about your arrogance and your rejection of the messenger and the message. So think twice about what you're doing. Then Allah Azza wa Jal fasts forward the scene until the day of judgment, until they witness that promised day. How incredible, how beautiful this is. Allah fasts forward. Now he's going to tell us how they are going to respond and react when finally they get to see the reality of this promised day. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. When they saw it. لَمَّا, this لَمَّا, it's a word used for something that hasn't happened but will happen. So if I said, لَمَّا أَكَلْت, it means what? I haven't eaten yet. I'm going to eat, but not. I haven't done it so yet. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the Arabs, Al-A'rab, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The iman hasn't yet entered into your hearts. There is hope, there's a chance, it's coming. Don't rush. Eventually we'll get there. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَمَّا, meaning finally, when the time comes, and it's coming, they, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ, when they saw it. Saw it is a past tense. But they haven't seen it yet. So what does, why is the past tense being mentioned here? You know, the past tense, it implies certainty, right? Let's say you told me, can you pay the bill? And I said to you, yeah, don't worry, it's done. I haven't done it yet. I spoke in the past tense so that I can inform you that khalas, consider it done. It's as certain as history, because history can never be changed. It's always certain. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ, Allah Azza wa Jal says, when, eventually, when they saw it, they're going to see it. But Allah speaks in the past, saying definitely and certainly they will see it. This is as certain as history. It'll not change. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ, it, when they saw it. It, what's it? The promise of Allah, the afterlife, and the events of the Day of Judgment, Jahannam, and the many different punishments that are in Jahannam. Zulfatan. Zulfatan, for something to come near, to be brought close, for something to creep in. Like, you know, in Al-Hajj, there is Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa is called Muzdalifa because it's closer to Mecca than Arafah. And when people finish the day of Arafah, they begin to slowly creep in and walk to Muzdalifah. So it was called Muzdalifah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. The paradise, it's brought close to the believers. That's how Allah honors the believers on the Day of Judgment. They don't go to the paradise. The paradise comes to them. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. When Allah Azza wa Jalla described Dawood alayhi salam, he said, وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا, what? لَزُلْفَى. That Dawood alayhi salam, he has a closeness to us. لَزُلْفَى, meaning every moment that Dawood alayhi salam would do a righteous deed, he's bringing himself closer and closer and closer to Allah. Well, there is a hadith, wallahu alam, is some authenticate or some weakened, like izdalifu ila Allah walaw bi rak'atayn. Get close to Allah even though it is by offering 2 units of salat. So فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً, when the disbelievers see the promise of Allah creeping in slowly towards them, creeping in slowly, that's زُلْفَةً. How does that happen? So when they see the angel of death that's coming in, then the soul's being removed from the body in its 5 stages. Then they're carried to their graves. The Munkar wa Nakir comes. See, slowly, slowly they're coming towards that promised day. Then the questioning in the grave. Then the punishment that is in the grave. Then the resurrection, then the gathering on the Day of Judgment, then the books, then the scale, the mizah, then as-salat, then they are thrown in Jahannam. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً, it's going to come to them slowly, slowly, the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, and eventually it will creep up onto them. سِيَأَتْ وَجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ. When that punishment and that promise finally appears to them and they see it with their very own eyes, Allah Azza wa Jal describes their faces. He says, the faces of those who disbelieved will become gloomy. Si'at. Si'at sa'a. For something to be very bad and evil. Like they say, as-saw'a is the private parts of a person. As-sayya is the bad, evil deed. Wujuhu alladhina kafaru. The faces of the disbelievers or of those who disbelieved will be very bad. The face will look evil and horrible, gloomy, full of worry and depression and anxiety and sadness and regret because they rejected this day and they did not prepare for it. And the faces were mentioned because that's where misery and despair is seen on the body. You can't tell if someone's miserable and sad from looking at his hand or from his feet. You look at his face and you'll know exactly whether he is sad or happy. Even in this worldly life, if a person was to receive good news, you can see it on his face. The face brightens up and it's illuminated. And if a person was to receive like really bad, sad news, you can see it on his face. The face is dark, it's gloomy, it's depressing. سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا. You need to understand, brothers and sisters in Islam, we're not just speaking about some sad news they received in this worldly life. They are being dragged to Jahannam. They are seeing that which they used to deny and reject. The regret is grand, it's huge. They are going to burn forever and ever because of their kufr. So, وجوه الذين كفروا سيئت. You see that mad? سيئت. See that mad? That mad there implies that there is some deep regret and sorrow and blackness on the face. Why? الذين كفروا. Those who disbelieved. Allah mentioned the reason for why the face became evil and horrible because of the disbelief. وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون. And it will be said to them, this is what you claimed would never come. It will be said to them. Who will say to them? Ulama rahimahum Allah, they say that the angels, the prophets, the believers will all say to them. Or it could be that the disbelievers will say to each other, as they're being thrown in Jahannam, they'll look at each other and they'll say, هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون. This is what we used to call for. And what does that mean? In another qira'ah, this is the qira'ah of Ya'qub al-Hadrami, he reads, هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون. تدعون. تدعون is to call someone, like a da'wah, to invite someone, to call him. So it said to them, this is the day you would call. You'd call for this day and mocking it. How they used to do that? Yani, that's the kuffar. In this worldly life, when Allah Azza wa Jal would promise them about a threat or a punishment, they'll say to the messenger, عَجِّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا. Yalla, bring us a share, our share of punishment. Let's see it. Come on. Where is it? If you're truthful, show us. Where is it? In other places in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, they'll say, وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. If indeed this is the truth, Allah, shower above us stones. أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Come on, bring on this painful, tormentful punishment you keep telling us about. Bring it on, let's see where it is. So now look at the regret. They're looking at each other and they say, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. This is what we used to call for. This is what we thought was a joke. We used to say, bring this on. Now it's brought on. So the regret is severe and it's intense. Allah Azza wa Jal then says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعْيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Say to them, have you considered? You disbelievers, have you considered? So now, you need to understand. They've rejected the message. They don't want anything to do with it. They are character assassinating the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? In kuntum sadiqeen. They are calling him a liar, a madman, insane. And his message is still going. What do they want now? If you cannot silence a person after you've character assassinated him and his followers continue to go, what's the next step? Kill him. As the next step is kill him, right? Even Allah Azza wa Jal would say in Surah Al-Anfal, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ. They wanted to prison you. They couldn't do that. Now they wanted to kill you. So he is going to give them this situation. Look, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is going to give in for what they want and play that scenario in their mind. So you want me killed, right? طيب. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعْيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا. He says to them, have you ever considered? If Allah was to destroy me, let's say Allah destroyed me and He killed me, and He made my killing on your hands. Let's say Allah gave you the ability and you killed me and you got rid of me. وَمَنْ مَعِي Not only me and all my followers as well were killed and destroyed by Allah. أَوْ رَحِمَنَا Or let's say he doesn't kill me and destroy me. Rather, let's say he bestows his mercy upon me. SubhanAllah, just before I go, we explain something here. إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا If Allah was to kill me, what's opposite to kill me? Allow me to live. That's opposite to it. Opposite to أحيا, opposite to أهلك أحيا. So we were expecting, إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ أَحْيَانَا That's what we were expecting. But Allah Azza wa Jal did not say أحيانا, gave us life. Rather, He replaced the word life, living, with the word رحمنا, with the word bestowed His mercy upon us. And this is teaching us something, that life, living on earth, is from the greatest mercy that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon His creation. Because this is where we can prepare for the afterlife and the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. Living a long life on earth upon righteousness and goodness, this is an act of mercy of Allah upon such a person. Because it is a chance and an opportunity to increase in your iman and your good deeds. And that's why for the believer, our hope is not when we die. We don't hope for when we die. Our hope is how are we going to die? A long life is something good. If it's upon righteousness and goodness, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So, coming back to this now, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِي أَوْ رَحِمَنَا Tell them, have you considered, ya kuffar, have you considered, if Allah was to kill me and my followers, or let's say He decided not to kill me, and He bestowed His mercy upon us, and we lived, either way, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ You tell me. Who will save the disbelievers from a painful punishment? Yujir, to protect someone and grant them safety. So this is a serious reality check. They're being told, put your silly, pathetic excuses and arguments and questions to the side. Put it on the side. Grow up for a second. Listen and think with your mind. Forget about us, whether Allah killed me, destroyed me, my followers, He made me live, He bestowed His mercy upon. Forget about me altogether. You focus on yourself. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Who's going to save you? Who's going to protect you when the painful punishment comes? You'll still be resurrected. You're still going to face Him. And you'll have to deal with it. Are you prepared for that? So these disbelievers, they are envious of the believers. They are envious of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he feels pity and sorrow towards them. إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam feels sorry for them. So he's saying to them, go. Don't worry about us. Allah killed us. He made us live. You can worry about yourself. Don't worry about it. Allah, يعني, you got to look after yourself. Save yourself. Who's going to save you when that punishment comes? قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Now he tells them the truth with all certainty. Say, He is Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. You see, the entire surah repeated this name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. We believe in Him, and in Him alone we trust. Now, he tells them the reality of the matter. Before, what was he saying before? He was saying, إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِي If Allah was to destroy us, or He was to bestow His mercy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that, not from doubt in his heart that Allah will destroy him and the believers. He said that to distract them away from him so that they can focus and think about themselves. Who'll save you? But now he will say to them, أَمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا We have believed in him and upon him alone we rely. That means Allah Azza wa Jalla will aid us. He'll support us. He'll admit us into his mercy and into the paradise. And notice something beautiful here. أَمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا There's something abnormal and something normal. أَمَنَّا بِهِ is a normal sentence structure. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا is an abnormal sentence structure. We would have expected أَمَنَّا بِهِ وَتَوَكَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِ Why is that the case? أَمَنَّا بِهِ implies more than one thing we believe in. And that's the case. We don't only believe in Allah, rather we believe in Allah, His messengers, His books, the last day, the divine decree. There are many articles of faith that we believe in. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا When عَلَيْهِ comes before تَوَكَّلْنَا, it implies what? We've said this many times now. exclusivity because we only rely upon him and no one else. So, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, only upon him alone we put our trust. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And you will soon come to know who is clearly misguided. When Allah's victory comes to us, you will know who definitely is misguided. When you die, you'll know. And regretting afterwards will be of no benefit. You think we are misguided? You think we're foolish? You think we're backwards? And we're in the stone ages? He is Ar-Rahman. We believed in him. And upon him we relied. And soon you realize who the foolish, misguided, ignorant one was. Subhanallah. Notice here, Ar-Rahman. Once again, final time in the surah Ar-Rahman, he reminds them of this name to say that he's still the most merciful. Even though he showed you displeasure by getting the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to address you. But he hasn't given up hope. And he's still Ar-Rahman towards you because this is an address to them. So he still reminds them of his name Ar-Rahman. The doors of mercy are open. Come back and I'll accept from you your Islam and your Iman. Subhanallah, notice how he combined between these two matters. أَمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Because this is the peak of our faith. This is what we practice every moment of our life. And this is the central message of the Qur'an. You know, what is the greatest surah in the Qur'an? Huh? Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Qur'an. What is the central message in Surah Al-Fatiha? What's the core ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha? خلاص إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. إياك نعبد is آمنا به. إياك نستعين وعليه توكلنا. That's how it is. So إياك نعبد آمنا به. That's our purpose and goal in life. How do we get to that goal? How do we get to our purpose? إياك نستعين عليه توكلنا. We're going to seek his help. We're going to rely on him and we'll get to our purpose. So أمنا به is the purpose. عليه توكلنا is the means to that purpose. It's the way to that purpose. So as long as a person puts his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, he'll continue to remain a steadfast believer. And then the surah concludes one final ayah with us. It concludes with a warning. And this is another possible punishment in this life before the next. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Tell them, have you ever considered, أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, if your water was to sink into the earth, أصبح, all of a sudden, you wake up the next morning and there's no more water in your wells. It all disappears. It's gone into the earth. Imagine this. Imagine the source of life on earth is water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Everything is living because there's water in it. Imagine that the source of life sinks into the earth and you're unable to have access to it and bring it out. غَوْرَ. غَوْرَ is for something to sink deeply in and you lose access to it. Like it comes from the word غَار. You know, you're all familiar with غَار حِرَى, the cave of Hira. غَار means a cave. It's called as such because the cave is deep into the mountains. So if your water has become really deep, sunken into the earth, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who else will bring you flowing water? Ma'in has two meanings. Ma'in comes from the word ma'an, ma'ana. Ma'ana shay, meaning for something to be smooth and flexible, right? Ma'in ma'in, water that flows effortlessly, smoothly, like a very calm, cool stream of water that is flowing. Ma'in also comes from the word ayn, ayn, to see something. Water that flows on the surface of the earth, you can see it. Because if it's sunken into the earth, you cannot see it. But if it's on, but if it's ma'in, meaning it's on the surface of the earth, you can see it. And this is another blessing of the blessings of Allah that we must ponder and focus and reflect over. You know, the entire surah has been calling us to reflect over different things. This is one of the things to reflect over. The water itself and how it exists on the surface and it hasn't sunken in yet. Subhanallah. And this warning here is important. It's very important. I tell you why. Because earlier, what did Allah Azza wa Jalla threaten the disbelievers with? He said, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَ. Who's going to provide for you if he decided to withhold your rizq? And we said, الرزق is where is it initiated from? Of السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. So Allah Azza wa Jal threatened them with not an earthly punishment, but a punishment that is from the skies. So you know what they could say? No problems. Hold the rizq back. We have what? What's the water that Quraysh has among them? Zamzam. Hold back the rizq, no problems. We got Zamzam on earth. So now even their Zamzam is being threatened. In أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Subhanallah. The ayat are being recited onto these arrogant people for them to think and reflect and ponder. Subhanallah. Yani in these final ayat, these last three ayat, you find this. Allah mentioned a punishment of the afterlife, yeah? فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Who's going to save you all from a painful punishment on the Day of Judgment? Then the last ayah was a worldly punishment. مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Your water is to sink. And in between these two ayat, there's only one way you could be saved and avoid this punishment altogether. And that is by joining us. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. So the solution is sandwiched between two problems. A worldly punishment, مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, an afterlife punishment, عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The solution's in the middle. Join us. هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. SubhanAllah, some ulama mentioned in their tafsir that this ayah was recited upon a group of arrogant people. Who will bring you flowing water on the surface of the earth? So some of them said, if the water was to sink, we will bring it out with our axe and hammers. We'll dig it out and bring it out like that. So Allah Azza wa Jal took away the moisture of their eyes and they ended up being blind. SubhanAllah, wal ulama would I read a commentary there. Who's now able to bring back their sight? فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who's able now to put moisture back into your eye and make it flow, right, and runny like how it used to be before? SubhanAllah. For the arrogance of some people lands them into very severe trouble. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us away and save us from arrogance. Brothers and sisters in Islam, our final discussion is just very short about the beginning and the ending of the surah. In the very beginning of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. In his hand is all kingdom. It rests and it lies in his hand. And it ended with a threat. Have you ever considered if your water was to sink, if it was to become inaccessible, who's going to bring you flowing water? And you know the water that you and I drink, we cannot survive without it. He is in control of it. Even that is part of his mulk. So it began with بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And even as little as this water that you and I cannot survive with, that's part of his mulk as well. So like that's Allah Azza wa Jal establishing his complete authority and dominance over mankind. Your water, that you are so weak when you are thirsty in desperate need of a sip, that's part of his mulk. That's in his hand. He controls it. So remain on his side to be saved and preserved from all forms of punishment in this life and in the afterlife. Well, SubhanAllah, we also find probably one more interesting thing is, at the beginning of the surah there was what? There was a mention of, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُور. Do you see any flaw in the creation of Allah? And at the end he says, قُلْ أَرَيْتُمْ. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Have you seen? So you see the idea is at the beginning, هَلْ تَرَى. Have you seen any flaws? هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُور. Do you see any flaws? At the end, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Haven't you seen yet? Haven't you considered yet? That the authority and the might and the dominions and the strength belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. So once again, there is that establishment of Allah Azza wa Jal's authority upon mankind. And so the hearts at the end of this surah must be humbled to the oneness of Allah, to the greatness of Allah, to realize that He is the one true Lord and King of this worldly life and of His creation. And afterwards, a person submits to Allah Azza wa Jal's commandment, remains loyal to Allah. He's on Allah's side. آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. And this is why, يعني, after we shared what we were able to share in a few days of this surah, the heart should be charged with the greatness of Allah. And if this greatness of Allah is instilled within the heart, that's where you will source the confidence to answer the questions in the grave. Remember, we said Surah Al-Mulk is to be read every night before you sleep. So now, with this understanding that we have of this Surah, you'll always read Surah Al-Mulk every night, remembering the greatness of Allah. And if a person dies in a state like this, he has enough reverence of Allah. He has greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart. He'll be able to answer. He'll be able to answer the questions, the pressing, compelling questions that are in the grave. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal at the end of this course that He make it a benefit for all of us. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness and success. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us a hasanah in this worldly life, a hasanah in the afterlife, and that He save us from the fire of hell. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to admit us all into the paradise, into Jannat al-Firdaus, ma'a al-Nabiyyin wa-Siddiqin wa-Shuhada'i wa-Salihin, wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa, jazakum Allahu khayra. Inshallah ta'ala, in our next trip, bi-ithnillah, we will have some time to decide on what we'll do, inshallah. But what would you suggest? We continue with the tafsir of Surah of Jizat Tabarak, or we may move on to something else. I really have something to share and desperate of sharing it, and that is a course about an understanding of a salat and the positions and the movements and the words that are said in a salat. So that's something that is ready, and that is to go bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. But I am between that and continuing on Jizat Tabarak. So what would the... Both. We won't have time to do both in one trip. But anyway, perhaps we'll send a poll out, inshallah, on the WhatsApp group. If you're on the community channel of Al-Masjid, we'll send out the poll, inshallah ta'ala. We'll take your thoughts on that. And then, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we'll ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us success and strength for that. Wallahu alam, zakum Allahu khairan for your attendance. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.